You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hobson's Pledge are a trust that believes New Zealand should have one law for all. Don Brash is one of the founding members, and it follows closely to the policy he attempted to initiate in 2004. Very recently, they had their first public meeting. BFM reporter Lillian Hanley went along to find out if they were for real. Lillian and guest reporter Anna Bracewell-Worrell give us an insight to the meeting and the ideas behind it.
Kia ora, my name is Lillian, and I have a confession to make. It's embarrassing for me, and I wasn't even going to tell you because it's that bad, but, well, I went to a Hobson's Pledge meeting. I got hit in the face with a bottle last night, so I'm missing a tooth and my voice sounds a little funny, but I'm telling you this story because it's pretty serious. I thought Hobson's Pledge was a joke at first, but it seems to be turning into a white supremacy group, softened with the use of te reo Māori. Hobson's Pledge, he iwi tahi tato. You can't possibly be racist if you use some Māori words, right? Now, for those who have no idea what I'm talking about, you are in for quite a ride. For those who vaguely know what I'm talking about, you might remember Don Brash, you know, the guy who got mud thrown at him and who gave that horrifically racist speech in Orewa, a place he can't even pronounce correctly, in 2004. You will possibly remember then, a couple of months ago, when he announced his new trust called Hobson's Pledge. Their logo actually got torn to pieces by the spin-off, and I definitely recommend looking that piece up. They didn't actually get much press, and this could very well be because John Key is embarrassed his old mate Don is still trying to outseat him. Key basically dismissed the group when they came out because he believes his government is doing a really great job of mending the broken treaty relationship. That might be a story for another time, but what is relevant is that they haven't received any support from the National Party.
Yeah, John Key's actually described the group as a broken record attack from Don Brash. I actually think that's a pretty accurate description. Ironically, though, the broken record is playing early 2000s National Party rhetoric. Brash is back with the intention to take John Key's National back to the good old days, when racist rhetoric was coming thick and fast and National was failing to win any elections. According to Brash, National has retreated a very long way since those days. I'm Anna BW, by the way. I wasn't at the meeting, but I have listened back to a full hour of audio recorded at that meeting. I didn't put myself through that for nothing. I'm ready to weigh in, for reasons we'll get to.
But back to the meeting. On the 22nd of November, the group held their first ever public meeting. It was aptly held in Tauranga, the home of old white people, who probably don't remember the fact that Māori were displaced from this area due to land wars and consequent illegal land confiscation. This also is another story, but quite a common one here in Aotearoa. I had heard about the meeting from a friend, and I convinced another friend to drive down with me and attend the meeting. Why, you ask? I'm still having nightmares about it, I know, but we figured what Hobson's Pledge represents is an attempt by mainly old and white middle-class New Zealanders to hold on to their privilege. Now, I was only making assumptions at this point from what I'd read about them and what I know about Don Brash, so, as a Pākehā myself, I thought this is something that should be dealt with by other Pākehā. Māori have enough going on without facing a new group that's trying to make New Zealand white again. I decided that by attending, I would be able to see what we were up against.
I think you're right, Lillian, and that's why I think it actually does need to be discussed. I think if the US election and Brexit taught us anything, is that a lot of people, media included, exist in bubbles, and we especially can't keep bumbling along inside those bubbles. As uncomfortable as it might be to listen to people you don't agree with, they get to vote, and their vote is equal to yours. At the moment, this group is absolutely a minority, and they are absolutely desperate for coverage. But as a quick glance at their Facebook page reveals, they are also becoming increasingly extreme and increasingly hateful. Sorry, the meeting, Lillian.
Now, the venue was a pretty old school hotel, so I'm guessing they don't have much funding yet. They are actually registered as a trust, which means they pay tax, but it also means we can't look up their finances online. Anyway, we sat right at the back and all the empty seats in front of us ended up filled. We kept our heads down, but it didn't stop someone telling us it was good to see the young people getting involved. We told him we didn't actually know what this was, but we heard there would be free drinks. We were worried there would be media and that our faces would be recognised by our peers. However, there was no media, except me, I guess, now that we're talking about it. But mostly people left us alone. You see, we are both white and we could easily get away with being in that space. Anybody young or of colour or even just a different opinion, might have been treated slightly different, and they were, and they still are now, by supporters of this group. A couple of the older guys around me started talking about what a really good man Don Brash was, and how pragmatic and low-key he is. I was still quite confused where they were getting the information from, or whether I'd just missed the point in history where pragmatic was now used instead of racist, and low-key was a way of talking about someone that's starting a hate group, but it's not quite public yet. On the other side of us, another man admitted he wasn't too sure about the group, but he thought he would check it out, because apparently you can get NCA credits now for boiling an egg at the local marae. That's not actually how it works, but he ended up leaving anyway because he didn't agree with old mate Don and his Grey Power fan club. The MC for the day started off by telling us of a couple of hysterical issues people were currently dealing with, one of which was someone who asked for a koha, for putting up a fence between his place and someone's paddock. Shock, horror. No way might somebody be showing appreciation for the effort they've made. That's hysterical. What will they ask for next?
Can I just bust in here for a second to say, I really enjoyed listening to this part of the meeting. It is pretty standard procedure to ask your neighbours to contribute toward a fence that goes between your properties. I'm not quite sure what this has to do with Māori privilege. In fact, if there's one thing white people love, it's building fences. And of course, paying less for that fence if they possibly can. The only thing I can think of that might be shocking or offensive about this man asking his neighbour for a donation toward his fence building is the use of the word koha, or the colour of his skin. And if either of those things is shocking or hysterical to you, maybe you've got some things to work through. The anger and pettiness at this point of the meeting really sums up the whole thing for me.
Absolutely agree with you, Anna. And that was right at the beginning. Another example of what's wrong with society came from Gabrielle at the back, whose son-in-law apparently had to identify with a river and a mountain in order to enroll in university. Now, this just sounds like bullshit. There's never been a prerequisite for enrolment, even if you are Māori. Anybody with basic understanding of Te Ao Māori knows that those with Māori whakapapa are descendants of Papa Tuanuku, and therefore embody those relationships with awa or maunga. They are only ever conditional relationships when viewed through Western lenses. But again, this requires a basic understanding of Te Ao Māori. Now, firstly, the type of people we are talking about don't really care for that nonsense because they think it's a dying language anyway, as seen on their Facebook page. But secondly, New Zealand doesn't actually provide any comprehensive or decent education in regards to the indigenous people of this land, and it becomes quite difficult for anybody not born into that world to become familiar and even comfortable with it. This in itself is the issue. It's a systemic failure on behalf of the Crown to ensure, under Te Tiriti o Waitangi, that those taonga, te reo Māori me ngā tikanga, the language and the culture, are protected. But the meeting, sorry. I had been feeling ill before we even got inside the room, and by now I was just plain horrified. The speakers hadn't even begun yet. Let me clarify. Hobson's Pledge are a small group of mainly old white people who claim that all New Zealanders should have the same rights and the treaty is not a constitution.
Basically, they think Māori are being treated with privilege and that Pākehā are missing out. Brash doesn't like Māori electorates or provisions to include Māori in local government decision-making. A lot of this is government-focused and not the kind of stuff that motivates the white people of Tauranga to turn up at a public meeting, so something else is going on.
I'm not sure where to even start. The language used for their demands is quite plain, but the meaning behind it is rather sinister. On their website, the terms irreversible separatism and New Zealand-style apartheid are used. These are to incite some moral panic that implies specifically that Māori are taking over. This is bullshit. Don said in 2004 that Māori, although the minority, have a birthright to the upper hand. That's a quote. Now, if the upper hand means more likely to be incarcerated, more likely to be represented in negative health stats, more likely to rely on social welfare, more likely to be homeless, and more likely to be classed in the lower socioeconomic class, then fuck me, give me the lower hand. This group seems to think that the effects of colonisation have just disappeared and everyone is able to get along quite nicely in this world defined by Western institutions. What this group is saying is that everybody in New Zealand is exactly the same and therefore we should all be treated the same. Now, law and democracy and those pillars of Western imperialism that were enforced here through colonisation, even though there were already systems of governance in place, are perhaps all well and good if, indeed, every person is exactly the same and each of those like-minded people had the same access to education, healthcare, housing, te mea, and even then, it's questionable. That's irrelevant, though, because people are not the same. People do not have the same access to basic necessities such as food and shelter. People do not have the same ability to access legal representation. People do not have the same ability to enter tertiary education in a position where they have continuous financial and emotional support. Everybody's different. Not only do they want everybody to be treated exactly the same, but the way in which they are implying those people should be treated is the way that dominant New Zealand is treated, and that is middle-class white people. Richard Dyer, who writes on whiteness, says, "Research repeatedly shows that in Western representation, whites are overwhelmingly and disproportionately predominant, have the central and elaborated roles, and above all are placed as the norm, the ordinary, the standard. Whites are everywhere in representation. Yet, precisely because of this, and their placing as norm, they seem not to be represented to themselves as whites, but as people who are variously gendered, class, sexualized, and abled. At the level of racial representation, in other words, whites are not of a certain race, they are just the human race." In other words, to sum up Mr. Dyer, white culture is everywhere. Later on in the meeting, the MC said, "As if our culture doesn't matter," and a woman in the audience responded, "They talk as if we haven't got a culture." There are two issues here. Firstly, as I just said, white culture is everywhere. We live and breathe white culture. The second issue is that ancestral traditional culture from our original homeland in the British Isles does in fact exist, and that is something we can own and celebrate. We also need to be aware that as the norm, as the ordinary, as, quote, just people, we hold an incredible amount of privilege. Māori language and tikanga were systematically and forcibly removed in this country. There is a long way to go before that language and way of being is considered the norm in this country, the only country, in fact, where that language is indigenous. Not only do we have an obligation to protect that, but Hobson's pledge claiming that this is infringing on the rights of all New Zealanders is literally, evidentially, totally and completely fucking ridiculous. We have a serious problem in this country where we like to pick which parts of Te Ao Māori we tolerate, whether it be the All Blacks doing a haka, or when our white politicians claim that good old Kiwi spirit after marae opened their doors to house the homeless and feed those affected by the Kaikoura earthquake. The concepts of manaakitanga and whanaungatanga are very much embedded in Te Ao Māori. Now, manaakitanga is about caring for others and expressing a certain type of generosity. If you break it down, it is to manaaki. So to foster and nurture your own mana, you must exercise manaaki. Whanaungatanga comes from whanaunga, which is your relative or even friends, and that's all about sort of forming and maintaining those relationships. It is disrespectful to claim that this is a New Zealander thing. Yes, we have a shared history, we exist together in this country, but if we bag on Māori people for not having a job, and then applaud the generous nature of those running the marae in the next sentence, we need to check ourselves. We need to understand that certain jobs and roles held with prestige in a Western world may be very different to jobs or roles held with prestige in Te Ao Māori. Before Anna tells us about their increasingly violent nature, I would like to state that Casey Costello and Don Brash both spoke at this meeting, and their speeches are available online if you really want to check them out. Casey is Māori and is a spokesperson for the group itself cannot be racist. But just because Casey herself believes she has never experienced racism or sexism, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Don's speech was to encourage people to push this as an election issue, but he also managed to state, "No version of the treaty leaves any doubt that sovereignty was ceded," which is also bullshit. Lawyers, academics, the tribunal, and many researchers have shown that this is not the case. In fact, through revisionist history, the information we have always been given in school is now known as the standard story, but it isn't actually correct. It is incredibly inaccurate, in fact, and this is partly why these people are clinging to their ideas. They really, really believe them. This is the same narrative he gave in Orewa in 2004. By capitalising on public ignorance about Te Tiriti and the idea that many people were tired of the legal and justified treaty settlement process, Don can say something in his position of power that is misinformed and inaccurate, and people will believe it. Let's not even go into the fact that treaty settlements are nowhere near what they should be. One person did, in fact, speak out against the group in question time. A Pākehā woman stood up and very bravely challenged the group. Her name is Samantha White. She said, "If structural discrimination doesn't happen in this country, how come the education stats show Māori do worse in NCEA, in mainstream schooling, than in Kura Kaupapa Māori? As well as this, she called out their encouragement of hate speech. All I can see on the Hobson's Pledge Facebook page is hate. And then asked them to moderate the page, to which Casey replied that they can't control that. Samantha herself has spent time trying to deconstruct mistruths on the page and has been targeted by those on the page calling her a post-colonial guilt-tripping wigger. Samantha got totally booed and then they shut down the questions. Following the meeting, she was approached by an attendee who went right up into her personal space and pointed a finger at her saying, rather aggressively I might add, I have three kids and two of them are Māori and they get everything.
Now, unlike the audience at the Hobson's Pledge public meeting, Lillian and I are millennials, so we naturally checked out their Facebook page. And this is actually why we decided to talk about it today. Over the past few days, they've become increasingly extreme and increasingly nasty. On Wednesday, a weirdly punctuated post blamed a rat infestation in Devonport on the Maunga Authority. Remind me again who owns / runs every mountain in Auckland? The post asks. Okay, well, 14 volcanic cones, not quite every mountain in Auckland, are managed by Auckland Council under direction from the Maunga Authority, which is made up of Auckland councillors and mana whenua. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounds a lot like Hobson's Pledge is attempting to blame a rat infestation on Māori management. They seem to think there are rats on Takaranga because the mountain is managed by iwi. I think they have a basic obligation to fact check anything that goes online, and if they'd done that, they would know there is a pest control scheme underway and additional traps and baits specifically targeting rats are being installed this month. At that meeting, Don Brash began by saying, it's absolutely crucial that Hobson's Pledge is not, or that we're seen to be, anti-Māori. We are not anti-Māori. We are not anti-anybody. We are pro-New Zealanders. Nothing about that post is pro-New Zealanders. It is directly attacking Māori because of their race. And anyway, if you want to blame a rat infestation in Devonport on anyone, don't blame Māori. Of Auckland's 21 boards, the population of Devonport Takapuna is the 18th least Māori. That anti-Māori Facebook post wasn't the only one. The next day they posted something saying 40% of Māori women are single because state welfare acts as a surrogate father. The post calls for a return to the 1940s, when women had to be married in order to access welfare. So now the group seems to be about upholding and protecting the institution of marriage. Here I was thinking they were about upholding and protecting white people.
I'm going to jump in here because I saw one earlier in October, actually, and this one's quite personal to me. It was a post addressing an article about a storyteller who travels around Taranaki schools to spread the story of Parihaka and help kids find new ways of dealing with conflict. Awesome. Hobson's Pledge called it indoctrination and propaganda, and then implied the non-violent passive resistance Te Whiti and Tohu encouraged was not something to be proud about because they interfered with land that wasn't theirs. That's not true. I'm pretty sure if someone steals your land, you aren't going to be happy about it.
And that's just a small sample. There's a lot of hateful stuff, and despite claims Hobson's Pledge is not anti-Māori, 9 of the last 10 posts were directly about Māori. If all this makes you feel depressed because you are normal, sensible people who grew up with even a tiny semblance of empathy and understanding, don't worry too much. At this stage, there's still a small group of old white people. Their Facebook page has only 400 likes. To put that into perspective, a page called Hate Walking Behind Slow Walkers has twice as many likes. And the page hasn't posted since 2009. They don't even have a profile picture.
But Facebook suggests that the same people who liked the Hobson's Pledge page also liked No More Māori Claims, Kiwi Frontline, and Gareth Morgan is an absolute idiot. Please shut up, Gareth. These seem to be a small minority of Aotearoa with certain traits of white supremacy, and we could just blow them off as lame Facebook groups, but then what happens? Trump happens. It's important that we talk about this group, not to give them attention, but to call them out for what they are. We need to make sure that we continue to confront such hostile ideologies. A group that claims they are fighting against separatism by encouraging assimilation and the oppression of the indigenous people of Aotearoa is not something that should be allowed to continue. We must name them. We must name whiteness. We must be aware of the privilege we have. Whenever I use kia ora to greet somebody, not only is this a greeting, but I feel it is an indication of solidarity. Not until te ao Māori and te reo Māori are normalised in this country can there be any kind of equitable relationship as New Zealanders. Hobson's Pledge, you really missed the point.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.